Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. As always, we welcome all who walk through our doors. And we welcome, too, all those who may be listening to this service as a podcast on another day. And we gather here on this sunny spring morning, as the sun shines its warmth down upon us once more here in the Northern Hemisphere. And plants are responding in blossom, flower, and fragrance. Colour returns to our gardens and to our streets. And today our candles in the centre show a spectrum of colour, like us as individual people, with our own experiences and stories in life, our own particular version of the great human life story, each with our strengths and our weaknesses, our failures and our triumphs, our hopes and our fears, all part of what it is to be alive. And the path that each of us takes through life is unique, for each of us is a one-off, unrepeatable, and yet we share so much. And my hope is that by gathering together in communities such as ours, by sharing our experiences of what it is to be human, then our path may be a little brighter and a little clearer because of walking in companionship with one another. And so I invite you now to take a moment to think of your path in life and the week that has passed. For some, there have been simple pleasures, sweet moments perhaps of success and fulfillment. For others, no doubt, there will have been frustrations and disappointments, fears even, and that sadness of life not being quite how we might wish it to be. Let's think of our lives over the last week. And however our week has been, let's use this time that we share together as a time for reflection, for new insight, perhaps, as I welcome you all this morning. International Women's Day was first celebrated in 1911, and I've lit our chalice this morning, symbol of our worldwide liberal Unitarian community, in recognition of the great achievements that have already been made in creating a more just and equal society. But may this flame continue to shine a light on all places and all situations in our world where inequality still holds sway. And may its light inspire us to work towards a just and equal way of living in all spheres of human activity, the social, the political, the economic, and the spiritual. Welcome, everybody. Would you join now in a time of prayer and reflection? As I call on the divine spirit of life and of love to be with us now and to bless all that we do and say together here today. Let us take this time, if we wish, to connect with the God of our hearts, with that which guides and inspires us. Let's make a space, a quiet space, so that we might better hear the voice of our own wisdom within, that perhaps connects us with something greater than ourselves. And as spring declares its yearly message of hope and renewal in our gardens and parks and on our streets, may we too find a message of hope and renewal within us. If anxieties weigh heavy upon us, may our burdens be lifted. If we find the troubles of our world too much to bear, let us seek new possibilities for change or new approaches and attitudes that might help us to face that which is, giving us the strength to face truth in all its confusions and complexities. Throughout history, the story of our planet has been a story of change, a great unrolling narrative with many characters and settings. For to be alive is to move, and to move is to change. But this day, may our thoughts be with the places in our world where changes are perhaps enforced and bitter, and where there may be little illusion of control for the people who live there. And may we think too of the many places where change is held back, and where the search for freedom may be seen as rebellion. May all such places be touched by love and understanding, that fear may diminish and peace expand. And in the midst of our own transitions, may we be granted all the strength and insight that we need. And may we pass what strength and kindness we can on to others who we meet along the way. For surely it is in the sharing of our paths in life that we can find meaning and purpose to sustain and guide us, now and always. Amen.
You'll remember the story of Malala, the schoolgirl from the Swat Valley in northern Pakistan, who was shot by a member of the Taliban along with her friends, because she had spoken out in support of girls' education in her country. Her story is remarkable, not only as she survived being shot in the head at close range, but with considerable grace, good humour and humility, she is now campaigning for the right to be educated for all children of the world. Here are some extracts from her speech to the United Nations in July 2013, on her 16th birthday. Today, it is an honour for me to be speaking again after a long time. Being here with such honourable people is a great moment in my life. I don't know where to begin my speech. I don't know what people would be expecting me to say. But first of all, thank you to God, for whom we are all equal. And thank you to every person who has prayed for my fast recovery and a new life. I cannot believe how much love people have shown me. Dear brothers and sisters, do remember one thing. Malala Day is not my day. Today is the day of every woman, every boy and every girl who have raised their voice for their rights. Thousands of people have been killed by the terrorists and millions have been injured. I am just one of them. So here I stand, one girl among many. I speak not for myself, but for all girls and boys. I raise up my voice, not so that I can shout, but so that those without a voice can be heard. Those who have fought for their rights, their right to live in peace, their right to be treated with dignity, their right to equality of opportunity, their right to be educated. Dear friends, on the 9th of October 2012, the Taliban shot me on the left side of my forehead. They shot my friends too. They thought that the bullets would silence us, but they failed. And then, out of that silence came thousands of voices. The terrorists thought that they would change our aims and stop our ambitions. But nothing changed in my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage was born. I am the same Malala. My ambitions are the same. My hopes are the same. My dreams are the same. Dear brothers and sisters, I am not against anyone. Neither am I here to speak in terms of personal revenge against the Taliban or any other group. I am here to speak for the right of education of every child. I want education for the sons and daughters of all the extremists, especially the Taliban. Dear brothers and sisters, we realize the importance of light when we see darkness. We realize the importance of our voice when we are silenced. In the same way, when we were in Swat, the north of Pakistan, we realized the importance of pens and books when we saw the guns. The wise saying, "The pen is mightier than the sword," was true. The extremists are afraid of books and pens. The power of education frightens them. They are afraid of women. The power of the voice of women frightens them. And that is why they killed 4 innocent medical students in the recent attack in Quetta. And that is why they killed many female teachers and polio workers in Khyber Pakhtun. Because they are afraid of change, afraid of the equality that we will bring into our society. I remember that there was a boy in our school who was asked by a journalist, "Why are the Taliban against education?" He answered very simply. By pointing to his book, he said, "A Talib doesn't know what is written inside this book. They think that God is a tiny little conservative being who would send girls to hell just because of going to school." Dear brothers and sisters, we want schools and education for every child's bright future. We will continue our journey to our destination of peace and education for everyone. No one can stop us. We will speak for our rights and we will bring change through our voice. We must believe in the power and strength of our words. Our words can change the world. So let us wage a global struggle against illiteracy, poverty, and terrorism. And let us pick up our books and pens. They are our most powerful weapons. One child, one teacher, one pen, and one book can change the world. Education is the only solution. Education first.
And it can be so hard, can't it, to keep our hearts open when we are thinking about people who would shoot a 15-year-old schoolgirl, or who would shoot, as they have done this week, more polio workers in those northern valleys where polio is becoming endemic once more. And I think this is one of the struggles that we have to work through in our spiritual lives, is how to live with an open heart in this kind of a world. In this poem called A Brave and Startling Truth by American writer Maya Angelou, she explores the beauty and the horror that humanity creates here on planet Earth, our ability both to caress and to destroy. That is the brave and startling truth. It is up to us to embrace life as a miracle. And this is just part of her poem. We, This people on a small and lonely planet, travelling through casual space past aloof stars, across the way of indifferent suns, to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we learn a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from fists of hostility and allow the pure air to cool our palms. When we come to it, when the curtain falls on the minstrel show of hate and faces sooted with scorn are scrubbed clean, when battlefields and coliseums no longer rake our unique and particular sons and daughters up with bruised and bloody grass to lie in identical plots in foreign soil. When the rapacious storming of the churches, the screaming racket in the temples have ceased, when the pennants are waving gaily, when the banners of the world tremble stoutly in the good, clean breeze. When we come to it, we, this people, on this minuscule and kithless globe, who reach daily for the bomb, the blade, and the dagger, yet who petition in the dark for tokens of peace. We, this people, on this mote of matter, in whose mouths abide cankerous words which challenge our very existence, yet out of these same mouths come songs of such exquisite sweetness that the heart falters in its labour and the body is quieted into awe. We, this people, on this small and drifting planet whose hands can strike with such abandon that in a twinkling life is sapped from the living, yet those same hands can touch with such healing, irresistible tenderness that the haughty neck is happy to bow and the proud back is glad to bend out of such chaos, of such contradiction we learn that we are neither devils nor divines.
When we come to it, we, this people, on this wayward floating body created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion for this earth a climate where every man and every woman can live freely, without sanctimonious piety, without crippling fear.
When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is when, and only when, we come to it. Ever so often, something reminds me that I'm getting on a bit. I don't know if that ever happens to any of you. You may know the sort of thing. Suddenly meeting myself reflected in a shop mirror and thinking, who is that? And then working out that it is actually me, just a lot older than I'd expected. And last week I laughed at a sign outside a northern barber's shop that said, cutting hair brilliantly since 1974. And my very first thought in response to that was, well, that's not very long ago to boast about. Till the friend that I was with pointed out that it was 40 years and that represented quite a few haircuts. So when I talk about the women's movement in the 1970s, I realise that to some people that will seem a long, long time ago, way before you were born. And what can I say about such a time? People had a lot of hair and they wore very flared trousers. And to be a feminist, to be part of the women's movement, felt revolutionary. Our International Women's Day celebrations then had an anarchic, kind of countercultural feel about them.
40 years later, whilst that northern barber has been cutting hair brilliantly all this time, it's interesting to realise just how much more mainstream International Women's Day has become, at least here in Britain, and I get a sense of it around the world too. It's been marked by educational establishments, local councils. Even Dear Google had provided a cheering film this weekend of happy women and girls singing to us from our computers. And of course, it was marked, I noticed, on a lot of newspaper front pages yesterday. And the issues, well, the issues that led to the founding of an International Women's Day back in 1911, the issues exist still, they probably always will, and depending where you live in the world, there is cause, is there not, for both celebration and for despair. Each year, the World Economic Forum reports on the gender gap in countries around the world. And in 2013, they reported a slight improvement, again, in the gap between men and women globally. For the fifth year running, Iceland was found to be the country where women enjoy the most equal access to education and healthcare. It's also the country where women are most likely to be able to fully participate in the country's political and economic life. So the gender gap has closed just a little bit globally. And yet, don't we all know all the problems that still remain? The number one item on the front of yesterday's Independent newspaper was a statistic I did not know, though. That just 1% of the titled land in the world is owned by women. Another, which I think I did know in some way, was that a baby girl born today in Britain will have a life expectancy of 81 years, whilst a baby girl born in Swaziland's life expectancy is 39. And then here in Britain, we are still dealing with grim issues. Domestic violence, female genital mutilation, forced marriages, so-called honour killings. And as we become more aware of the extent of such ill treatment and injustice, it can seem, can't it, at times, that the problems are growing rather than diminishing. And I think, as I've said, you know, elsewhere in this service today, I think it is one of the tasks of spiritual awareness to face such issues with an open heart, to accept that human beings can behave so very misguidedly, and to contain in some way all this wrongdoing and dreadful injustice and cruelty. A bit like in our meditation earlier, accepting what is and then asserting once more it could be otherwise. Only then, I think, can we start that slow, practical work of change, supporting the campaigns, doing what we can, holding the possibility that life could be otherwise. If we care about equality, then of course there's much to be concerned about, much still to be campaigned for. But International Women's Day always has had both an emphasis on campaigning for improvements and on celebrating achievement. And this year's focus is on inspiring change, which of course can both be a celebration of the changes that inspire us and a rallying cry to all people of the world, whatever their gender, to be part of the processes that bring change about. For me, underneath all of this is a deeply spiritual message that the equality of all people is a fundamental foundation stone for creating a better world, and that supporting message that it can be done. On the back of your yellow sheet, there are some feminist quotations also from The Independent. It was a really excellent edition yesterday. And I ask at the bottom, who inspires you? And I'll look forward to hearing more about the women and the men and the campaigns that inspire you. But as I've thought about these issues this week, I've kept coming back to the importance of underlining some key feminist messages. That equality respects difference, and that inequality anywhere degrades people everywhere, both men and women. So let's keep on, keeping on, holding that possibility of a more just and equal society around the whole of our globe. Amen. So let us create a world where we can be who we truly are, where nobody has to pretend or to hide. Let's create a world where it is safe to be ourselves and where we can admit our vulnerabilities as well as our strengths. And let's create such a world not just for ourselves, but for the generations yet to be, that all might be free to be themselves. Amen. Go well and blessed be.